The preacher listened closely to the broken mother's heart as she talked about her daughter gone astray. Feeling so ashamed, she wants to take the blame, and she wonders where she made her mistake. But the preacher said this prodigal knows the way to Calvary, and the word says that she won't run for long. So let's keep believing in God's higher ways, and know that till she's back where she belongs, she's working on her testimony. Though the way she chose is lonely, know that there's a victory down the road. Someday she'll share her story and help somebody else to make it home. So don't worry, she's working on her testimony. This could be your story. You're praying, Lord, how long? What will it take for my child to be saved? You know God has a plan. You've placed it in His hands, but it's hard to leave it there and walk away. There's a promise to your children, the same one He's given you, that together you will spend eternity. No failure is final when God extends His grace, but until then, just speak, and with all your heart believe. They're working on their testimony. Though the way they chose is lonely, know that there's a victory down the road. Someday they'll share their story and help somebody else to make it home. So don't worry, they're working on their testimony. Though the way they chose is lonely, know that there's a victory down the road. Someday they'll share their story and help somebody else to make it home. So don't worry, they're working on their testimony.
Appreciate that, Michael. Amen. Amen. Are you working on your testimony?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Are you falling in love with Him?
Yes.
Praise God.
your voice. It's the year of Jubilee. Out of Zion's hill, salvation. Declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And though these are days of great trials, of famine and darkness and sword, still we are the voice in the desert crying,
shining like the sun at the trumpet call. Lift your voice, it's the year of Jubilee. Out of Zion's hill, salvation comes.
And these are the days of Ezekiel, the dry bones become. Days of your servant David rebuilding the temple of praise. And these are the days of the harvest. Your fields are as wide in your world. And we are the laborers in your vineyard, declaring the word of the Lord.
He comes riding on the clouds, shining like the sun at the trumpet call. Lift your voice, it's the year of Jubilee. Out of Zion's hill, salvation comes. Behold, he comes riding on the clouds, shining like the sun at the trumpet call. Lift your voice, it's the year of Jubilee. Out of Zion's hill, salvation comes.
There's no God like Jehovah. 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 There's no God like Jehovah.
There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. Behold, he comes riding on the clouds, shining like the sun at the trumpet call. Lift your voice, the year of Jubilee. Salvation comes. Behold, he comes riding on the clouds, shining like the sun at the trumpet call. Lift your voice, it's the year of Jubilee. Out of Zion's hill, salvation comes. Lift your voice, it's the year of Jubilee. Out of Zion's hill, salvation. Jehovah, there's no God like Jehovah.
There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. Behold, He comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice. It's the year of Jubilee. Out of Zion's hill, salvation comes. Behold, He comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice. It's the year of Jubilee. Out of Zion's hill, salvation comes. Lift your voice. It's the year of Jubilee. Out of Zion's hill, salvation.
In that little building in there. I got to come out here. Take the offering up. Then I'll start preaching. Y'all can all be seated. Y'all go sit down so you can pay your offering.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Let's give him one more big hand. Wow. Good job. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet. Sure. Yep. Up and down. Yep. Church of God or whatever that is goes up and down. Sit down and stand up. Sit down and stand up.
Wake them up.
Wake them up. That's right. He'll be all right. Amen. That was good. Good job. They're going to be singing that at the at Bethel, right? No, they're not. You're singing something different. Oh, they're singing something different. Okay. All right, well, let's make announcements, and then we'll get started. We have about four questions, and they're good ones. I didn't bring my tablet out here because I don't think we'll get finished. But remember that Brother Bob will be speaking Wednesday night. The Bethel camp will be the 27th through the 30th. We've got the group coming from Ohio, too. And we'll be getting all those together and get them there on Thursday. If you need the itinerary, I think you can go to bethelcamp.org or .com or something. They have their own website, right?
Yeah.
They have their own website. Okay. If you need to ask anybody, I think Brother Joe probably has it. And we're going to be talking in a few minutes. There was a question about youth camps, so... there'll be no Bible study on the 5th. Time changes that night also, so set your clocks back. Only be one service on the 6th, and then there'll be a wedding. If you have not RSVP'd, you need to do it at theknot.com/Lily and Zach. I know you remember all this. Get hitched. So if you're going, go on the website, please. It's getting close. It's only like 3 weeks away. So Bob's hands are sweating, and Monica's having to hold her up, so. And pray for Sister Janet too. Janet's running the show, so if anything goes wrong, blame her. And I don't think they will. She was featured in a magazine here not too long ago. Well, excuse me, we have celebrities among us. If you get in the Pioneer Girl, then we'll talk about it. Pioneer Woman or whatever she is. Pioneer. What did I say? Pioneer Girl. Well, she's a woman now. She was a girl when I knew her first, so she's a woman now. We've been by her house several times, haven't we, Jim? She don't live too far from Brother Claude and them over in Oklahoma. So just remember that. The wedding will be at 4 o'clock. We'll be leaving here and take your leisure time to get over there. If you get there before 4 o'clock, stay in your car. I was told to tell you that. Stay in your car. Don't come in. Were you looking for me, Monica? What? 3:30? 3:30. Just, if you get there at 1, go do something else. Just don't bother them.
You can get there and just stay in the parking lot.
Just stay in the parking lot and fellowship or something. I'll just preach till 3, and then we can rush over there, because it'll take about an hour to get there from here. Is that right, Sister Monica, about an hour? 45 minutes to an hour. Okay, so we sure love Sister Lily and Brother Zach, and we appreciate them, and nothing but smiles when we see a wedding, man. It just brings back memories. June and I, last Thursday was our 43rd, so. Yeah, I said, well, see, sister. Amen. You need to pray for Jim, says, well. All right, comments, you can keep them to yourself. November the 13th, just pray for Sister Jim, give you something to do. November the 13th, we're having our church dinner. That will be for our Thanksgiving dinner, and you will be bringing the condiments and the side dishes and all that. So we'll talk about that a little bit later, but just keep that penciled in. Also, the first Saturday in December will be the Christmas dinner at the, we'll have one service here, and then we'll go just like we did last year, one service here, and then we'll go to the to Hidden Acres. All right, do what? That'll be on Sunday.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Usually we preach on Sunday. We're going to do Seventh-day Adventist or what? November 13th, just have church dinner. Then December, I think it's the 4th, 5th, it's first Sunday. Did I say Saturday? It'll be the first Saturday. Sunday. Brother Colley, help me here. Make these announcements for me, would you please? But just remember these things. I know you forgot everything I just already said just now, so just keep these things in your prayer. So let's go to Lord in prayer. We've got 4 questions. How to approach youth camps, the do's and don'ts of courting. And we have, is it wrong to pray for your team to win when playing a game such as a football game? Well, it's Georgia, yeah, for sure. Number 4 is talks a little bit about marriage and divorce, but it's a calm way to talk about it. And the last one, but not the least one, do we fall in love with Jesus just like getting married? Spoken from a true child. Amen. All right, let's bow our heads. Lord, thank you for this day, Lord, and I pray that you'd be with us. Give us this day our daily bread. Father, we're just a family here group, Lord, and I pray that you'd just be with us. Lord, all the functions and things we do, we want to do it, Lord, for your honor and glory. And we also want the people to feel at home. We want all of us to feel like one big family, Lord. I pray that you'd just be with us now and answer these questions. Lord, if there be any other questions, Lord, we pray that you'd just answer them while these are being answered, Father. Thank you for the ones that have asked the questions, Lord. And many times we look over the youth, but Father, there was one day when you were here in human flesh, you sat down one day. As it was, you just sat down on a park bench, and the kids started coming around you playing. And all the disciples, they didn't like that. But you rebuked them and said, leave them alone, because such is the kingdom of heaven. You have to be like a little child to enter into the kingdom. Father, we know we start as a child, Lord, but grow into adults. So, Father, we pray that you'd be with us now as we answer these questions, Lord. May they be done for your honor and glory. Be with the ones that are sick, ones that are not with us, Lord. Be with the ones on the foreign fields. We haven't prayed for the missionaries, Lord, much. We pray that you'd be with them, Lord. There's still some out there that's laboring, Father, in the different countries. We pray that you'd be with them, Lord. Take care of each one, Lord, in the furtherment of this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We don't have a scripture to read, so you can be seated. I think we maybe could read the scripture that Brother Luis is reading the other night. Think on these things. And I think I have a quote that he quoted the other night. So we're going to start with number 1, how to approach youth camps. Now, there has been many opinions, attitudes toward youth camps, all right, over the years. We've been involved, Sister June and I, the kids growing up here, Brother Boyd and Sister Janet, different ones. We go to these youth camps and started in about 1999 to 2000. We went all the way to, what, 2006 or 8 or something with in Alabama, and then we supported other youth camps. Now, there's some that we can't support all of them, but most of them we do try to support, because the ones we know of, the preachers that preach at these youth camps, are not going to preach doctrine so much to where it's going to confuse the people, because it shouldn't do that. You should preach salvation. You should preach how to court, how to get married, how to different things like that. And that's usually what, well, 99.9% of the time, that's what's being preached. So the way the brother asked, he said, how should I approach going to a youth camp? Well, going to a youth camp, number one, is you want to support your kid to go. All right? There's a fine line that I see that either you can tell, ask them, listen, if you ask a kid to do something and you're a parent, most of the time, what are they going to say? No. Right, Bella? Shake your head, yes. Mm-hmm. But it's a no. All right? Okay. So, and I don't agree with making them go, but when I was growing up, we didn't have a choice to go to church. We went. We went until we got married. We went until we got married. Right, Jim? Right, Dad, Mom? We went. There wasn't no playing around. So there is a fine line there. You can make them go, and I've seen them be so miserable. But you know where that starts from? The home. Should I read the quote where Brother Brown said it wasn't juvenile delinquency? It was parental delinquency. What you say at your home about the pastor, or what you say about the church, or even what you say about youth camps, it goes right over into the kids. If I'm wrong, somebody stand up and correct me. It's that way. It's been that way forever. That it's what the parents say, just like anything else. The kids are only going to say what the parents say. Just the way it is. So if you down youth camps and you make them so horrible, it's nothing more. And I know there was one old minister, he told me one time, he said, it's just a place for kids to go and get married and find a mate, and that's it. Well, that's not all it, but you know what? I'd rather them go and find one there than to go and find one at the honky-tonk. Or at school, or at a bar, or wherever you want to talk about. I'd rather them approach a youth that's at least maybe got a little bit of structure at home, being a message believer from a believing home. Now, we have seen, and June and I being counselors, and boy and Janet, and different ones of y'all, but we were for a stretch there about 8 years that we were counselors. You've seen them that it wasn't going to do a bit of good to help them. You know, I mean, you try to get them to do right, and Jim's had to get lipstick off of the ceilings and all things. You know, you're not supposed to lipstick at a Message Believers youth camp. How'd that happen? But it did. You know where they got it from? Home. If you most of the time look at their mom. No, I'm not going there. Never mind. So anyway, you look at the tight dress of the mama and you look over at the kid. Telling you, it's parental delinquency. I'm telling you, blame the parents. Don't blame the kids. The kids, like I told you, I wish I could, if I'm going to try to find that book. The book was called Children Are Like Wet Cement. Because wet cement, you can make any kind of impression you want to, but if you leave it there, when it hardens, how many of you have built onto your house or built a porch on your house? I know Brother Darty did at our house 20-something years ago. Well, here we go. We start pressing our hands into the cement, you know, and got their hands. Deanna wasn't even born. The kids were little, you know. They were pressing their hands in. 2001, what? It's still there. So the impression that we made 20-something years ago is still there today. Same way with us about anything. Church, what to do at functions. Well, I'm going to just let my kid do what they want to do. Well, that's probably why some of them are not here now. Now, you know what? I hurt your feelings. I'm sorry. I've been hurting people's feelings. I'm sorry that I do that. But I want to say one more time, if I'm lying to you, tell me I'm lying. But if I'm telling you the truth, you got to be a child of God. You got to take it. Sorry. I mean, if I'm way out on a limb and tell you you got to do something that ain't in the Bible, then yeah, you just tell me right now. But if I can put it in the Word of God and the prophet's message and what Brother Dale's preached to us for 50 years, whose fault is that? And I fell short too. I have one that's not coming to church, so I'm pointing me too. We're all on the same level. Like I said before, selfishness. We don't need to be selfish. The most unselfish thing is to want everybody to be saved. Everybody. Regardless. Amen? Now, we don't need to be preaching. I need to answer these questions. Bob, you got to stop me. But listen, what I want to see if an approach to youth camps, number one I want you to do is expect something from God. You know you're going to see other people. You know you're going to see people, and usually you're going to be put with people of your age group. Is that right? I mean, that's what we've been, you know, even Alabama. You put the group over here and you put a group over here. You don't want to put 18-year-old kids with 6-year-old boys. They can't interact. But you put everybody together, so what? The reason we come to church is what? Is that we can fellowship. And we can learn from each other. Well, that's the way a youth camp should be. When you go to a youth camp, you should go and say, look, I'm going to get something for God. Listen, if you find a friend that you can converse with online or ever how you want to do that, that's a bonus. If you find a girlfriend and you're a boy, then that's an extra bonus. We're going to talk about that a little bit later on do's and don'ts of courting and dating and all that stuff. But I believe you should go expecting something from God. Because once you get something from God, all that other stuff. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. All right. Now, I know, too, that kids are just an emotional bundle. Is that all right? Yeah. Feelings. You know, Deanna today, she said, I hate these pimples. She said, I hate these pimples. I said, I have them, too, sometimes. I'm 63 years old. But they don't bother me. Amen? But see, it bothers them, though. You say, well, it doesn't bother me because I'm 63. It doesn't bother me. It does bother her because of the what she presents. So what you present, and so be careful. And like, if you'll just see every one of these questions, every one of them, you can answer them the same way. Courtship, dating, right? Is it wrong to pray for teams win, you know, teams? And Brother Ram said, talk about Adam and Eve. All this is going to be pulled in together because, look, what is a woman? She's a bundle of nerves. Nervous. She leans to her emotion every time, the prophet said. Right? That's why Paul says you don't want a woman to be preaching because she's going to preach her emotion. All right? She's going to be the mama. She's going to be the mama that's, oh, well, it's okay. No, there's a balance. We know that. But a woman shouldn't be preaching because the first preacher was Eve. And what did she do? She messed it all up. Because of what? Because she was working toward her emotion. We'll get into that in just a few minutes. Because when Adam and Eve were separated, the emotional, the sweet, the gentle, the mother part that was in Adam, now is in a woman called Eve. And Satan could look at her and watch her through her life and say, I can get to that. I can't get to that because he's the manly one. He's the one that, you know, I got to build a house. I got to kill not at that time, but, you know, the mentality is the man's got to build a house, keep the place clean, kill the deer, drag it home, you know, clean it and let the wife cook it. Amen? You ought to try that sometime. But that's the way it is. When God divided, he wanted to make, because guess what? You and I are a type of that. We are Eve, right? We're the second Eve. So we have the emotion, and we like the emotional part, but we're also more susceptible to lies than Christ was. Amen? So we'll get to that in just a few minutes. Well, maybe in a little while. So how to approach youth camps. Let me read something to Brother Paul LaFontaine, Brother Joseph has them, and they're on our website. Somebody asked him about the same thing. So I just want to pull a few things out of here. Three main points that he makes. And one, ministry to young people is important because of the age that we live in. Much could be said of the carefully designed enticement from Satan directed toward youth in the last 50 years. And that's exactly right. If Satan can get the youth, he's got the next generation. That's what he's doing, bro. That's why Brother Brown said every generation is getting weaker and weaker, worse and worse. All right? So, and you know what? That's not God's doing. That's the devil's doing. Because he knows there'll be another generation. All right? If we have another generation, we got to have some sisters that keep their virginity so they can marry and have preachers. And then we're going to have deacons, and we got to have song leaders, and we got to have players of instruments. That's the next generation. Well, they just aren't not developed like this. They've got to be developed over time. Everybody with me? Young people are so blinded by the spirit being things behind things of this age. Without the Holy Ghost and down-to-earth wisdom from God, they'll never be able to see through this mess. And he's exactly correct. You'll never be able to see through this unless you've got good quality preachers, good quality laity, good quality. The Bible says the older should teach the younger. All right? And let me tell you something. A good key to your success, kids, is to listen to older people. Listen, you may not listen to your mom and dad because they're idiots. Mine was till I got about 30. Then they just smartened up. Everything they said was right. And everything backwards was right. Amen? Come on, admit it. No, you're the idiot until you realize that they were that way all smart all the time. Luke, you can tell your mama that too. Lucas, you can tell your mama that too. I'll tell her tomorrow, actually. When I see Justina, I'll tell her tomorrow. Luke said you're crazy. Ding dong. But without the Holy Ghost and down-to-earth wisdom from God, they'll never be able to see through this mess. The young people have always needed direction. And that's right. Never think your kid is going to do right all the time. That's where Eve fell, by thinking she was doing the right thing all the time. Everybody with me? All right? So I think that's really good. But they will need it more in the end time than ever before. Listen, let me just be down to earth. When I was growing up, when I was 12 years old, you're going to think this is funny, and I'm sorry, but I'm going to try to make a point that some of you will get, some of you won't get. Because it's just kids. 12 years old. Playing on the playground at 12 years old, well, maybe close to 10 or 11, in Gillsville, there, the place is still there. I got my beehives there, but the old gym is there. Well, we just happened to be crawling under the gym. Put your fingers in your ears. And we found a magazine that had some things in it that you shouldn't be looking at. Lots of them. About that thick. Somebody had poked it up in the... Probably some back in daddy's age back that way that poked the... No, that wasn't true. These were not black and white. They were color. But anyway, I'm going to make a point here. I was a kid. Guess what? I didn't go, leave that alone. No, no, no. I'm like... come on, somebody. And then at recess, from then on... Come here, Keith. Let me show you what I found. Then the next day. Because we were kids. And I surely wasn't going to go home and tell Mom and Daddy what I found. Hello, somebody. We're kids, human beings. But now look, my point is, I had to go to school, sneak under the gym floor, and sit there and read that book or look at the pictures. Not Michael, but all Michael's got to do right now is pick his phone up. Flip it over and hit two buttons. And he can see the same identical thing times 10,000 sitting right where he's sitting now. See the difference? I had to go to school, sneak under, Hope somebody didn't steal a thing. And then you understand what I mean? So we had to go make an effort. Now there is no effort. So I need to put it. He's got it in your pocket. It's in your pocket now. It's in the kid's pocket now. Without direction. But listen, we should not ostracize the people. Amen. We're humans.
Right.
We're human beings.
Right.
Sorry. I didn't mean this to be this way, but we're sexual creatures. We're curious. And we're selfish. We want it for ourselves. Amen? We've all been through this. The problem is a lot of times, like what Brother Dale said, you forgot where you came from. You forgot where you came from. You forgot you did them little things too. So let's don't kill our kids. Don't shoot the people. We got to love them. Sorry. But that's what our kids are looking at today. They're looking at high definition and devil. HD, huge devil. They're looking at everything in HD now. Where we had to, it was a grainy and on a piece of paper. And now it's just like, boom, it's there. And even when you don't want to, kids, I know for a fact, you go look up something online, and all of a sudden, here comes something pops up. And you know what? That little tempted thing sitting on your shoulder right here is going to say, press that button right there. They won't nobody know anything about that. Yeah, well, God does. Whether your parents does or not, God does. So let's go back to how to approach youth camps. Let's get back to that. How'd you get off on that trail? All right, look, ministry to young people is important because of natural anxieties of their young years. We just talked about that. The natural anxiety. Come on now. Don't get quiet. Natural anxieties of their young years. Making the change from a kid to an adult is extremely difficult. Everyone has to go through it, though. Kids, listen, we didn't just jump from 4 to 50. We went through the same thing. It might not be the high definition you're going through, but it's the same devil using the same tactic. What? Divide and conquer. The same tactic. Divide. Get away. We're going to talk about this in dating and stuff. If you can't take the boy you're fixing to date home to meet your parents, you don't need to date that person. Man or woman. If you have to sneak to see somebody, I'd get away from that thing real quick. Because you have a different motive, and so does he or she. Everybody with me? All right? So the change from kid to adult is extremely difficult. Everyone has to go through it. Besides of the inward pressure of growing up and wanting to be liked and accepted. That's our problem. They want to be liked and accepted. Everybody wants to be liked because you're on Facebook. Like me. Like me. Like me. You got to like me. How many likes did you get? I got 4,000 likes. They ain't one of them people know who you are. They just liked your one picture that you put online for 1 second. Amen? So don't put like being liked by having so many likes on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter, wherever you want to do it, any kind of social media. You ever noticed that? I mean, when we were growing up, we were talking about this yesterday. When I played football, there was a reporter for the local paper. And he took a good many pictures, but I mean, he didn't take a lot. But now, you go to a ball game. Every person that picks their nose, every kid that does something, they've all got their cameras out. 5,000 pictures. And then they what? Posted to Instagram. I'm here at the ball game. Look what's going on here. Look what we're doing here. That selfie, me thing. But that's a phase they got to go through. You and I went through it before. We just didn't go through it like that. We went through, hey, they're dumb and I'm not. I know what I'm doing. Right? I know what I'm doing. There just wasn't a selfie there every 5 seconds. Somebody was driving down the road the other day, and I thought, man, we're kind of out in the middle of nowhere, Brother Danny. And I have to look up, and there was 3 cameras on a pole. Yeah. Them little Turner, little bitty cameras. Watching everything that you do. So now we're in an age that what? It's come to what? Everything you do, there's a reaction to. All right? So watch this. Because of the inward pressure of growing up and wanting to be liked and accepted, there's a pressure on the outside to make choices. Contrary to what you may think, a youth cries out for clear-cut direction administered with real love. Deep down inside, they may be the most rebellious thing in the world. But deep down inside, they need your love and affection. Praise God. You want it from God, right? You want that deep love and affection from Him? Give it to your kids. Yeah, but my kids... Your kids are going to do what you did. A youth cries out for clear-cut direction administered with real, authentic love. The more personal understanding they can be given and the more wisdom they receive from godly sources, the better. Brother Branham recommended a special book for his teenage children to read. It was called Young Only Once by Clyde Naremore. If you want to look that up, you can look it up because Brother Branham put his stamp of approval on it. Young Only Once by Clyde Naremore. It's an excellent book on issues they're going through as a young person. Now, that was back in the 60s. All right. And this last one. Ministry to young people is important because they are the next generation. What we teach the young automatically affects the future. Automatically affects the future. That's why we've always tried. We may have failed 100,000 times, but we've tried to get the youth involved. Get the youth to do stuff. Bring it down to the youth level and have youth meetings and have things like that. And I agree with what Brother Paul says. Look, if you go to a youth camp and all they do is play, that's not what you're there for. You're there to hear the word of God. Then you can have activities that you do. Amen? Like when we have our youth meeting here, we have a youth meeting, and then we go and do what we need to do as far as playing or answering questions or or playing games, which is fine. Word comes first. Amen. Word comes first, and then all the other activities. And listen, why wouldn't you want them to be around something word-based? Amen. True word-based. Amen. Not some psychology. Amen. Everybody all right with this? Amen. Watch this. It's better to build children than to repair men. One more time. It is better to build children than to repair men. Think about that. Children are like wet cement. Everybody with me? Our attention to young people is vital. They are in their years of molding. I believe the bride of Christ will soon be translated to glory, but until then, it's important to make spiritual investments in our youth. If God tarries, they are the church that will carry the message on to the end. To sum it up, I want to remind the church of her responsibility to the young among them. First, create an atmosphere of faith so young people can be born again. Second, make sure that the older are teaching the younger in everything by example and by instruction. Third, seek God and understand the needs of the youth. Well, they don't need that. Whether it be the Holy Ghost or a wholesome gathering with other young people. Amen. Get them to a good youth camp meeting where they preach the pure message. Don't be against youth camps if they are the right kind. Brother LaFontaine said his personal experience started at a youth camp. The right atmosphere was there for a birth. More than anything else, let's be on our knees and pray for these young people. Like I said before, not ostracize them. Not say, well, they're just no hope for them. I'm glad somebody didn't say there's no hope for me. Amen? I'm glad I didn't get written off. Amen? I got written in. Amen? Include, not exclude. Do not separate. I know it's hard to treat. If you have, like, Kaylee and Zoe, then you got Esther and Zach. You can't all get them to agree on everything together, right, Monica? She's like, oh, my word. And them two are twins, came from the same time period, and they both, one of them's a little older than the other one, maybe a few minutes. But they think different.
Right. Amen.
Right. Zoe is the think, well, she's left-handed, so us left-handed people, we're the only people who use our right mind. So praise the Lord, right, Frida? Right? Isn't that right? And I told him a long time ago, I said, Zoe's going to be the quiet one. Kaylee's going to be the one you're going to have trouble with. I mean, one you're going to have to watch. And that's the truth, right? No. You can pass me a note and say yes. But you heard what see, there's an overview, though, that we come from the message of the hour. And we come to the scripture. And how to what? Bring them together. And not make them think the same. Listen, I don't want all y'all to think the same thing in here today. God's not one like that. God's one with variety. But they've all got to be, as we were talking this morning, they've all got to be the mind of Christ, not the mind of the devil, and say, well, we're going to take that. No, it's all under the mind of Christ. All right? I know it's tough to raise kids. But get some help. If you're overwhelmed with kids, get some help. Somewhere, somehow. What are you smiling about? Your mom and dad needs a lot of help. I know that. But you watch these grow up, and you think, man, I wish I'd have got mine that early. Freedom? Ma'am? Brother Gary? All of us. I wish we'd have got ours earlier and done just a few things different. Amen? We all question that, but listen, as long as they're sucking air, yes, there's a chance. Amen. Amen? As long as they're breathing, there's a chance. And you know what? I'm going to claim them. It doesn't matter what, because you know what? God claimed me and you. Doesn't matter what. Remember what I said this morning? It's when we start adding ourselves and our attitude into it. Yeah. So, how do you approach youth camps? I enjoy them. I like them. I'm glad some of you are going to support it and to be counselors. Me and June, we were for 8 years at Alabama. It was the very week of our anniversary. And we'd say goodbye on Friday and hello on Monday. And that was it. We didn't get to see each other the whole weekend. Because we had your kids to deal with and about 600 other kids to deal with. But we enjoyed it, Brother Boyd and Sister Janet, same way. And some of you other ones that were there. But being a counselor didn't mean just being one weekend, though. You got to be that 24/7. Be that to your kids. I don't care if they're 60 years old or 50 years old or 20 years old or whatever. You still be their counselor. And listen, it's okay to be their friend, but you still got to be their parent. Because here we go with the friend, and the friend lets them get along with. No, you can't do that. Bring it back to the middle. And teach them the ways of God. And listen, don't compromise. Don't compromise. Now, just for an example, y'all know, you know what Hannah is, my daughter. You going to kick her out? You going to kick her out to the world and we don't want nothing to do with you? You live this filthy life? I just told her, I said, look, whatever goes on in this house is my business. This is my house. If you want to live here, Daddy always told us, he said, you can live here as long as you want to. He said, but when you put your legs under my table and there's a plate set down in front of you with food on it, you're going to do what I say. When you decide you can do that for yourself, you go right ahead. Because it's my castle. It's your castle. The kids one time, Josh back here, he'll tell you, they're like, why do we have to do this? Why do we have to do that? I said, because I'm the boss. And Mama always said that, and she never explained it. So she explained it with a hairbrush. So we didn't say any more about it for about 30 minutes. She didn't really do that. But about three times. Terrence more than me, and Anna never got nothing, so she was missing. So, but anyway. But that's, I mean, your kids are an extension of you.
Yes, they
So the kid said, well, what can we do to be able to do whatever we want to do? I said, okay, you ask. Regina, I sat him down. We sat down. It was in the living room. I sat down. I said, okay, listen to this. I said, all right, you want to do what you want. Do you want to come and go when you please? If you want to have beer in that refrigerator, go right ahead. If you want to have bring your party in the house, go ahead. But this is what you got to do. You got to pay the power bill, the gas bill, the phone. I ain't done yet. The house payment. I'm going to give you all the insurance cards you need, too, because you got to keep the insurance up. And, oh, by the way, if I need a pair of pants, you're going to buy them for me. If I get hungry, you're going to put food in that cabinet for me to get food out of. And by the time I did that, they were sitting way back like this. They're like, well, I want to do that. Well, guess what? Because I'm the king of my castle, that's what I do. I go to work. Now three jobs. June works. We all work to provide. So that's what I told Hannah. I said, look, when you can provide for yourself, will you pay all these bills? Buy me clothes when I need. Oh, I'm sorry. If the car breaks down, if the motor blows up, Sister Hannah, you got to buy me another car. Or you got to have the motor fixed for me. Because you've decided this is your castle. Right? Buddy, let me tell you something. That'll really put them in their place because they're like, the greatest thing was, I said, okay, the power bill is $140 a month. The house payment's $800 a month. The car payment's $300, this is fictitional stuff, $350 a month, but it wasn't back then. I said, oh, the grocery bill's about $140 a week for all y'all or more. So I said, look, y'all going to have to make like $5,000 a month to make it. And they don't make $500 a month at that time. So the balance sheet didn't work. So guess what they did? They either did what I said or they left. A lot of times they leave, but that's okay. I'll never forget, we moved down to Gillsville when we built our house or built onto the house. So it wasn't a place for Josh and Hannah to stay. So we sent them over to Nanny's house. That lasted about a week. Because she told them what to do. Because it was her castle. And about a week later, I'm not joking. Here comes the road. Here comes Josh in his truck with all of his stuff on the top of it. Missed the train by that much. He was wanting to get away from Daleville. And I mean, he's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Hannah right behind him, whoa, whoa. They went and lived somewhere. I don't know where they went to live. But you know why? Because they didn't want to do what they was told. But it's a learning experience now because Josh is the same way. Josh is like, yeah, Deanna's going to do the same thing. But you see what I'm talking about raising kids? Give them parameters. So I give Hannah parameters. I said, look, you can't bring nothing in here. It's evil. No drinking, no smoking. Now, she smokes, but she smokes outside. I'm just telling you real life. I'm sorry. That's just family. But she don't bring it in the house. I'll let her live there. She makes good money. Now she's going to start paying rent. She just don't know that yet. She's not watching in, so we're going to tell her later. We'll tell her later. She's at work, actually, right now. But anyway, so are you going to throw them out? No. But I'm not going to allow that stuff to happen in my castle. Right? And if they don't want to do that, they can leave then. Amen? I told them my kids were like boomerangs. You throw them out, they come back. You throw them out, they come back. You throw them out, they come back. How many of y'all have ever had that? But Gary, Brother Gary went. It's really sad. No, really. What's really sad is now, though, that the youth of this age, they'll go and they'll lay with anybody in the world and have kids, and their poor grandma's raising them. And grandpa. Frida. That, to me, that's horrible. You should not have a 60-year-old woman taking care of a 7-year-old kid. You can't keep up with them. But that's what the world's full of. Because you know what? Oh, he's a problem child. I don't want him. No, I don't want that. No. No, you had them.
Yes, sir.
Right, right.
Brother Dale said, you might have fun having them. You're going to have fun raising them.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Those of you will understand that later on, I hope. Family matters, I guess. I don't know. I can hear them in Ohio. They're laughing like crazy because they never heard that part before, I don't think. So, how to approach a youth camp? You should send them. You should encourage them to go. You should encourage your kids to do anything that's worthy of God helping them. And even playing sports, I don't have a mind of people not playing sports. Daddy liked to got thrown out of the message. Me and Terrence played basketball. And we graduated high school. And look, Anna was really a sinner. She went to college. Well, so did I and Terrence, but we didn't stay. But that's why the message was, though. You get 16 years old, get the kids out of school, put them to work. Because education is of the devil. They just didn't realize, Brother Random, all his kids graduated high school, and one of them went to college. Education is of the devil if you'll let it be. You know what? Anything's of the devil if you'll let it be. But education, and I understand what he's talking about, this liberal junk that they're teaching now. Yeah, you shouldn't teach your kids that. You should homeschool them if you need to. Amen? But I believe that a good education will help you. How many times have we told you? Get a good education. Because you're going to need it. Further your education if you can. And if sports gets you there, that's fine. If getting scholarships gets there, that's fine. But get you an education, a good education.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
All right. Are we good with that? So how to approach a youth camp? I'd send them.
Amen.
And if you kids are going, which a lot, 12 of you are going to the Bethel camp, have a good time. Visit people. There's some people there you already know. But let the Lord do something in your life first. And then all these other things will work themselves out.
Amen.
And you might meet Mr. Wright. But he's got to go through me first. Huh? Yeah. Isn't that right? Right? If you meet Mr. Wright, that's okay. And that's what we're going to talk about next. The next thing is somebody asked about the do's and don'ts of courting. So this kind of all goes together. The do's and don'ts of courting. Now, I was looking up something. Brother Branham never said the word dating.
Right.
If you'll look it up on, put dating in on your folio views, he never mentioned dating.
Right.
It was always courtship.
Amen.
Okay? Or he might have said went on a date, but he's talking about when you say dating, that means he talked about that subject. He never talked about the subject dating. Because, listen, dating and courtship are different. As night and day.
Right. Amen.
Dating is way different than courtship. Because
right.
What dating is, I looked this up a little bit online, and I did look at what Brother Brown talked about, courtship. Dating, there's no clear purpose of what you're doing. You're just going out on a date.
Yeah, right.
Maybe Mr. Right, maybe Mr. Wrong. You better find out real quick.
Yeah.
But the do's and don'ts of dating, you got to start somewhere.
Yes. Right.
Everybody with me? You got to start somewhere. Brother Branham even had to what? Had to court or start dating. Remember, he had to go ask, what's his name, Mr. Brombeck or whatever her name was, Hope's last name was. Had to ask him if he could date him. See, that's a good guy.
Yes, right.
And they courted, and then they got married. All right. So Mita was the same way. Brother Branham didn't just up, and God just says, like a chess piece, here's your queen. Right? He did me. I didn't get any amens out of that. Not a one. Not a one. Amen. Amen. But that's what you got to do, though. You, as human beings, you're just not going to know exactly who your mate is from the get-go. He's the one. No, he's the one for the moment. Everybody with me? You got to get to know that person. But you got to get to know that person under the supervision of your parents. Everybody with me? I think we covered this a little bit many years ago when we were doing the, what was it, Family Matters. But I'm going to do it a little bit more in depth. Because dating, there's no clear purpose. You just say, well, I'm going to go on a date. All right? But then now courtship has a different end than dating. Courtship is a little more, Brother Ram talks, he says it's on the basis of an agreement. Now, he does talk about courtship. But he takes courtship and puts it in with the way we court Jesus Christ, the way that we come together in a courtship with the Lord Jesus. All right? Because it's not a marriage first. It's justification, sanctification, and then the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So you don't get married right at the get-go, even with Jesus Christ. Even though you know that he's the one, you know, you still got to go through justification and sanctification. Same way with your dating. You know, you may have to date some person. But man, I'm talking about just going and sitting and talking, or maybe go, you know, go get a Chick-fil-A or something like that. The reason I said that is because you should be on church on Sunday, and Chick-fil-A ain't open on Sunday. So anyway, praise the Lord. See, I worked that in pretty good, huh? So, yeah, thank you. Pretty slick. Every once in a while. But go sit down and talk and just converse. See, listen, a lot of y'all do that anyway online. Right? This is yes. Okay. But no, you start and at least you get to know somebody. All right? So, going on a date, it has like no clear purpose. It has no clear end. There's not a journey in dating. It should be extremely short. You should know, your parents should, like I said before, if you say, Dad, I'm going on a date, well, what's her name?
Susie.
Well, what does she look like? Where's she from? Well, we're just going, you know. No, if you can't bring that person to meet your mom and daddy, you shouldn't be seeing them. Yeah. You should not be alone. Now, that dude might want to come and sit down with us in the living room and have a conversation. I want to see if he's a good hunter, because I'm going to have my gun there and cleaning it and might accidentally let it go off. I don't know. Especially, ain't that funny, though, when we got girls, you're like, I'm so protective. Then your boys, you're like, well, I'm going on a date, Dad. Yeah! That's just the way we are, though. You know, with a girl, you like, you put the barbed wire around her, you know. But the guy, you're like, hey, get up, go on a date, would you? That's the way it happens. I'm sorry, Michael. We're just wired different. Everybody okay? I'll get to this point in just a minute. Brother Brown says in Fellowship, 1960, he said, now, he's talking about Christ now, but when we want courtship and things like that, it has to come upon the basis of an agreement. So if you start and you want to see this person again, all right, if you think, well, man, he's like Brother Brown said, don't do the, well, he smells good. He's got, what was he talking about? That girl's got a neck like a swan and all that. Look at their character. Have we not been talking about character? Right. Look at the character. Right. Brother Dale always told us, he said, beauty is only skin deep. But ugly goes to the bone. And that's exactly right. Well, y'all laugh if you want to and take it any way you want to. I believe it's the truth. I mean, there's some beautiful girls out there that you would not want to marry. Because they're ugly on the inside. Same way with guys. Oh, Bro Branham, he slicks his hair back. Remember he talked to the girl and said, why are you dating that guy? Why? He just smells so good. He got his hair slicked back into a ducktail. That was the thing back then. Just look it up if you need to. All right. Back in the 60s, you had a ducktail or you had a flat top, you know, and you drove a car and you rolled your sleeves up. And if you smoked, you put the cigarettes in your sleeve. I don't know why in the world people do that. But that was what you looked for in that era. In this era, it's just wide open. How many tattoos you got? I ain't going to ask about the piercing part. But it's different. So we're coming up today, though, where you really got to hone in, and you got to, if you want to date somebody, you got to go through a process. First name mama, second name daddy. Amen? That's the only two processes you got. But when you decide, say for an example, that, where's Milka? And Milka. Not you, Michael. Tennessee's. So Michael meets this young lady. I hope she's younger than him. Young lady. And he decides, I can use you, right? It's okay. It's nothing bad. Maybe. I'll turn the thing off and then you talk back and forth. But anyway, let's just say Michael meets somebody and he takes her to Milka's house and he says, hey, Mom, this is somebody that we got a little bit in common here. And Milka's like, fangs come out. She does that right there, and it's like the Wolverine, you know, all these things come out. Let me meet her. You should already brought her to begin with. But anyway, no, she's got to go through mama. She's got to go through mom and dad. He's got to go through mom and dad. You say, oh, I don't have to go through that, preacher. Well, yes, let me see how your end is going to be. Yeah. Oh, all right. Let me see how the end of this conversation is going to be. Right. Get married, 2 years later, you're divorced because you didn't get to know them to begin with. Right. Everybody with me? Amen. So courting is different than dating. And listen, you can get a bad reputation by dating every Tom, Dick, and Harry that lives.
That's right.
Male or female.
Right?
Because what are you looking for? Well, bro, wait, I got it. No, you pray. You pray and then cross paths with somebody. And when you cross paths with that person, you either say, let them go on. I pray to pray. Only freedom. Let them go on. Right? Or you want to see them again. Well, when you do that, then that may be getting close to the courting part, but you got to take them to mom and dad. You got to go through the hall of critics first. Remember Brother Brown talks about the hall of critics? And promise you, mom and dad is going to be the most critical people in the world. Amen? Besides me, for some of y'all. But because courtship is getting a little more serious. Courtship, there is an end to courtship. When you get into courtship, you're already discussing things. Amen? Listen to what Brother Brown says. We take, for instance, the marriage for a union. Look, now watch. We find out that the marriage, we find the courtship and the agreements and then the marriage. Everybody with me? Now, that's the same thing with Christ in the church, a courtship. God calling to our heart. We surrender. The marriage ceremony happens, and the bride takes the bridegroom's name. That's what makes the bride. Then we take on his name. Same way with what? Courtship, agreements, then marriage. So courtship has a specific end, which is marriage. Parents should be involved in every bit of that. That's when you kids, you got to realize your parents know more than you do. But that's the whole time you're going to say, nope, I married that girl. I don't care what nobody says. Well, that's okay. We'll see how that ends. Listen, if not by the grace of God, we'd all made a horrible, horrible mistake in our life. If not for the providence of God, knowing that I need somebody like her to make it through. That's the providence of God. That's God knowing what you need before you need it. But you yield yourself to it because you know the story behind all this. You know, I was dating somebody else and she was going to church and getting in trouble by telling these stories. But anyway, make a long story short, June didn't go to church. She come, showed up with, you know, smelling like cigarette smoke and wearing shorty shorts. Short hair, too. And Mama said, "What in the world?" Looking out for me. Dumb old me. Deer in the headlights, you know. Swept off my feet. Wasn't even looking for her. Y'all know the story. Most of you know the story. She's the one that was said she was going to knock me off my feet. I was the football player. You know, they don't knock me off my feet. Well, 3 weeks later, I got knocked off my feet. So anyway, so Mom's like, "What in the world? Here you got this girl that you're dating. Everybody understand?" Janet does. But, and it seems like that's the way it should have been. That's why I'm telling you, everything's not cut and dry. Because to look at it from the peripheral, I should have never married her. I had no business. But look at the providence of God. That's what I needed, folks. I didn't need the others. Same way with you. You should know that you needed your husband or your husband needs you. And that's why you're together. That's why we've been together for 43 years. Had our ups and downs, but you know what? We're going to be in eternity together. So I'm fine with that. I'm fine with that. That's okay with me. How the providence of God. But see, it doesn't always work that way, though, because how many people have been in train wrecks? You don't have to hold your hands up and put your hand down. You don't have to hold your hand up. But, I mean, a lot of people have been in train wrecks. You know what I mean? This is him. This is her. Gotta be. And it don't work out. Because you didn't put God first. And I didn't put God first, but God put me first. He knew I needed Jim. He knew I needed her. Nobody else in this world fits the mold like she fits the mold. So that's what I thank God. I do. And we courted for about a year and a half. And pretty much from what I can read, the different ministers, that's about as long as it needs to be. If you're a believer, and really it don't need to be that long. Because, you know, if you start courting, here we go back to getting human again. I hope you adults understand what I'm talking about. As you keep getting front, you say, "Well, we're courting. I mean, got the ring." Yeah, got the ring. You know what Gary Longora always told us when we were at youth camp? He said, "If you don't have a ring on your finger, you might can sit together, but no touching." And he really discouraged the sitting together. Because you're touching leg to leg, skin to skin. Maybe a little elbow smash or something, you know. Mm-mm. He said, "Now, if you got the engagement ring on your finger and you come to this youth camp," because it was for people that weren't married, and some of them were engaged, he said, "you can hold hands. That's it." I mean, even if the people got up and went to the bathroom, we were instructed to go to the bathroom with them. Because some of your kids do the same thing. They disappear for 15 minutes back there. If you got a bad problem, 15 minutes, you can't go to the bathroom, you need prayer. You know what you're doing? You're hiding from God. You're hiding from the spirit that comes into the church, which is a good one, and yours may not be. I'm saying, sorry. If I become your enemy because I told you the truth. The only way you won't stay in this sanctuary is you got a bad spirit. Hello, somebody. You're running from something. All right, let's get back to courtship just for a minute. Everybody all right? It may go a little long. I'm sorry, but I'm going to answer all these questions because they're good questions. Now, look, you must seek the approval of your parents. Look, if you can't introduce that person to your parents, he or she is not a keeper. What's the first thing you... Well, they want to prove of her. Well, they want to prove it. Why? Tell me why they want to prove of her. Or you ask yourself, why am I ashamed to bring them to my parents? Everybody okay? Are you ashamed of somebody you might want to live with for the rest of your life? And listen, everybody's got a mother-in-law that's married. I had two. A real one and a step one. Loved them both. They live far away. What am I saying? I like what a brother said one time. He said, it's not just binding two people together. It's binding two families. And this family and this family may not know each other. Say you met somebody from Arizona. Never met. Brother Luis and Sister Christine, maybe you talked on the phone or something, but you got to mold two families together then. And you might have two separate total opinions. But you still got to bring and overcome all that. You got to bring it together. Because, see, my June's side of the family never were believers. And my side was. That didn't make us no better than the rest of them. But it did make us to have a different mindset. Because they always wanted to party and drink and smoke and do all this. And, you know, we didn't want to do that. So it kind of made a separation. But they understood one thing was for sure. We weren't going to compromise with them. Everybody with me? Don't compromise just to be somebody's friend. That's not a friend. If you have to compromise your values, boys and girls, men and women, they're not your friend. They are your enemy. They will become your worst friend. Just putting that out there. All right. Let me read a few more of these. Bear with me, okay? Men and women who choose to date often have no commitment to consider marrying the other person. But, in contrast, courtship is undertaken only when both parties are prepared to make a commitment to marriage. All right? Dating tries to answer the question, how can I find the one who will make me happy? Courtship strives to answer that question. How can I honor God and discern His direction recording my a life partner? Amen. All right, so that's the difference in dating and that. But I want to get something, in, and it's got a little bit to do with marriage and divorce, but I said it wasn't good. But this is vanilla. All right, everybody with me? Watch. Brother Brown says we've seen it start in the East. Because I want you to look at something, because dating, girls and boys, when you date, that's okay. That's not a committal. But when you come to a place of courtship and you start talking about getting engaged, you're working on some territory that you either got to make it, jump into it, or you got to not do it at all. Brother Branham says, I got two quotes right here, and that's why I want us to understand. And I'm going to be real plain. Everybody with me? Sex doesn't make you married. The union between a man and a woman does not make you married. That's not it. Brother Brown said, that's not it. What marries you? Your vow is what marries you. Once you vow yourself to that person, you're just as married. Now, there are steps you got to go through to be lawfully married, the bed undefiled, and God, what? God will honor that marriage. Everybody with me? But to sex, having sex, you say, well, we're married. No, you're not married. You're not married to the vow, the committal.
That's right. Yeah, that's
right. Let me read it right here. Everybody okay? Now, I'd like to pass this on. This is from, we have seen this start in the East in 1963. Now, I'd like to pass this on before we go further. It's espousing. He's talking about Mary and Joseph because this is a Christmas message. The Bible said he did. Yes, sir. Now, Joseph was a good man. He was the son of David. And he was espoused to Mary. Now, I'd like to pass this on before we go further. Espousing in the East was the same as marriage, is betrothal. Now, watch. As soon as they were espoused, they were married. When that sacred vow was taken, he said, read Deuteronomy, they were married. When that sacred vow between them was taken, read Deuteronomy 22:23, and you'll find out that when this woman and man agreed to be married, yet they didn't take the vow for months later, if they even broke that vow, they were guilty of adultery. So it's your vow. If you promise to marry somebody, you need to do that. Your vow is what marries you. I'm reading what the quote says. Also, read Deuteronomy. There's several different things. Deuteronomy and the book of Numbers has certain things about vows. If a man vow a vow or a woman vow a vow. If a woman vow a vow and she's heard, if her parents hear, they can disallow the vow because what? The husband is the head, or the father is the head. But if he allows it to happen, he can't 6 months later go, no, I don't want you to marry that guy. Right. No, if he says yes, then you're done. Right. Everybody with me? Amen. All right, look. When they were espoused, they were just the same as marriage. The law doesn't give them a right to live together as husband and wife yet, but before God, when they promised one another, their words were sealed in God's kingdom, and to break that was committing adultery. Do I need to read anything else? Brother Brown, we were married, and this is the question and answer. We were married 21 years by the justice of the peace. Was it wrong? Yes, it was wrong for you to do that. Marriage belongs in the house of God. But being that you are married, here's when you're really married. You're married when you vow one to the other. Do I need to read any more? You're vowed one to the other, not the other. Everybody with me? All right. So do's and don'ts of dating. Dating, you better do it just a very short period of time. Pray like crazy. And bring them home with you. And parents, it's okay to have a date night. Go with them. Make them buy you something to eat. You've been feeding them for 20 years. Amen? Right? Let them buy you dinner. You'll find out real quick if they want to be together and you be around them or them be around you or not. Everybody all right with this? All right. We got a couple more. Well, we got three more. Is it wrong to pray for your team to win when playing a game such as football? Now, somebody, we'd laugh about that, but let me tell you what Brother Brown said about that. Everybody want an answer? All right, here we go. The Influence of Another, 1962. This is right about the time of the seal, so it's okay. You know what I think? I'm reading verbatim. Everybody has their own opinion. But one of the greatest, and to my opinion, the greatest president ever was in a nation was Abraham Lincoln. Now, not because he was a Republican, not because he was what he was. No, it was because what he was a godly man. And he was raised to serve God. And he said, if there is anything I want to give praise to or my life was influenced by, was a godly mother who taught me to pray and know Jesus as my Savior. Right. Oh, your family is what you are. You raise your kids in a certain environment, it's got a 98% better chance to go right than it has if you bring them up in the wrong way. Parental delinquency. Bring up a child in the way that it should go, and when it's old, will not depart from it. Be brought up right. Teach your children to do right, to be honest, to be square and fair, even when they're in school. So here we go. Ready? This is paragraph 39 for those of you that may want to look this up and read it. This is, everybody believe Brother Brown was a prophet, right? Okay. All right. Now, many times children are prone to copy off of one another. They tried to copy mine. I was so smart. And try to press their way through school. But you know, I think if you'll just get it yourself, then it's something that you can appreciate, your good grade papers. Everybody with me? All right, your good graded papers. You know, if you're going to have a test the next day, instead of running around all night, getting up the next morning and think, well, I'll sit next to so-and-so. They're smart, and I'll copy off of them. If you'll just, before Dad returns thanks at the breakfast table, that don't happen anymore. That was me, not him. If you'll just say, Dad, remember me today. I got to take a test in chemistry or whatever it is. Then when you pray, Dad says, God bless Mary or John in their test today. He said, I tell you, it'll turn the tide. Remember, we can have what we want if we will ask in faith. Believing. Jesus said, all things are possible to them that would believe. You have not because you ask not. And you ask not because you believe not. He said, ask abundant that your joy may be full. He said, I like that. Our teaching, right. Say the right thing, do the right thing, think the right thing, always be thinking right. I have a little slogan. Do right, that's your duty to God. Think right, that's your duty to yourself. And you're bound to come out right. You can't be going east and west at the same time. You can't be going right and wrong at the same time. No matter how much you think you're going the other way, if you're traveling directly west, you're not going to ever get to east if you're going west. So he's talking about a test. So we always prayed at our, of course, you can't do that now, I don't think. You pray at a football game. Do they still do that? Or have they canceled that too? They still do it? Some do, some don't. Depends on the school district. See? Pray over everything. Now, I'm not going to pray that a team wins. I'm just going to pray that the people stay safe. That's the way I would pray. Regardless who wins or not, I don't think that matters to God. But it does matter for them to use their talent and not be hurt and to not get in trouble. Well, why wouldn't we pray over our kids? Why wouldn't we pray if they went and played a sport or something? All right? Amen? Is everybody okay? They didn't hurt anybody's feelings? So you pray for your team to win, especially if your kids are playing on it. You're praying for your kid to get through this thing all right. Everybody okay? All right, number four. This is kind of a long one, but it kind of hooks into every bit of it. It says, look, Brother Branham said that it's a serious thing when a man goes to choosing a wife. You see all these connected together? And they come from totally just separate people. And Brother Dale said not to joke about who's going to marry who. Can you please elaborate on that? Can you please elaborate on that? Let me add this one in here. Now, I want you to listen to this. Now, watch. Brother Brown said that it's a serious thing when a man goes to choosing a wife. And Brother Dale said not to joke about who's going to marry who. Can you please elaborate on that? I think I just did. Is that okay? Did I elaborate on that enough in the back part that we were talking about? It is a serious thing. Especially when you get into what? The courtship part. Listen, to me, the dating you can back out of if you'll do the right thing. Courtship, when you make a vow and start talking about marriage and dates, and Lily and Zach, they come to the courtship part. We're in love. We're so in love. Brother Bram asked that guy, I said, remember he was going to marry him? He said, Brother Bram, I just can't do without. He just, I just got to marry this girl. You know what Brother Bram asked him? He said, can you do without her? He said, no, I can't do without her. For no reason at all. He said, well, you better marry her then. And so he went and married him. That's the same way it is with courtship, you know. That's why you don't have to have a 2-year courtship, 6-month courtship, or 3-month courtship. If you know you've done, listen, do the right things. Bring them home. Show them to your parents. Show them off. If you're so happy with them, show them off. Your parents will decide whether you need to shove them off or not. So anyway. So Brother Brown says it's a serious thing when a man goes choosing a wife. And Brother Dale said not to joke about it. Who's going to marry who? And that's true. Don't judge. Don't. I mean, it's not my business. Well, it's not my business who Bella marries. But it is. But it's not my business who Bella marries. It's a decision of Christine and Luis and their family. Now, if they request us, I like what Brother Keith Reed does. You know what Brother Keith does? Some of you do know June does, because he did it when we were over there. He brings them up to the front. And he says, okay, Michael and Susie, they have said they're going to start dating. And they said they're going to start courting. He said, we ever one going to watch them. And he's serious. He wasn't laughing. He's serious. We are going to watch them. We are going to be their Holy Ghost, the whole congregation. If they get over to the side, you go over there with them. I mean, really, that's what he said. He said, if they go out somewhere, you go with them. If mom and daddy can't go, send brother and sister so-and-so. Hey, I'd like for them to buy me a meal. If they want me to go, I'll go, y'all. Roadhouse. Huh? What? Thank you. Thank you, Bella. Sucking up, aren't you? But if you've done it right, just what we were talking about, do it right. I told somebody one time that was doing really bad in business. I said, if you'll go back and start right, you'll end up right. But you cannot correct wrong in the middle of wrong. Everybody with me? Go back. If you're dating and this girl or this guy is not for you, just say, God bless you. I appreciate your time. I think you'll make a good mate for somebody, but not me. Be honest. That's the best. Be honest. Don't be going, well, I don't think I'll ever get one. Yeah, you'll get one. Okay? We were in Alaska on a cruise, and where were we at, Jim? Ketchikan or somewhere. Ketchikan, Alaska. And we were sitting at a place, and this girl was serving us, you know, and we were eating these big crab legs. Man, they're good. In Alaska, and I said, well, you know how we converse. We said, oh, how you doing, you know? Well, do you live here? Yeah, I've lived here all my life. How's everything going? And she was telling us some story about her dating life or something, you know. And I said, well, what's the deal up here? She said, well, you know what? She said, there's about 9 guys to every 1 girl because of the oil riggers, because of the oil business. You know, there's a whole group of men goes up there, and there's just a few local girls there. She said, but let me tell you something. She said, the odds are good, but the goods are very odd. So, the odds may be good, but if the good is odd, leave him alone or her alone. Amen? Start off right and you'll end right. Everybody with me? All right. Can you please elaborate on that? Just what we've been talking about. Leave that to the individual family. If they want your help, they'll ask you. They don't want your opinion. Sorry, I mean, it's a family thing. It's intimate when you start looking at dating. And listen, you're not there with them the whole time. Mom and dad is. Leave it alone. If they want counsel from ministry or from somebody that's full of the Holy Ghost, then you know what? They can ask you for it. Okay? When we involve our own opinion is where we get in trouble. We hurt feelings and all that other stuff. All right? I read that this morning, I think, in the message. If we start interjecting ourselves in it. All right? Now listen, here's the next question. This is a good one. Brother Branham said that man had to fall for God to manifest his attributes to be a savior. He also said that man couldn't fall because he was made in the image of God. Talking about Genesis 1, 26, 27, man. So God had to make a byproduct, which was Eve. But if the byproduct was able to be deceived, how could Adam and Eve be co-equal if one could fall and the other one couldn't? Bob, this one's for you. Don't laugh, Luis. You got the next one. Aaron, you got the last one. That's a good question. So the only way I can answer is let Brother Branham try to answer it for us, okay? So let's look at questions and answers in 1954. Watch what Brother Branham says. All things of shadows and types. When God made the heavens and the earth, he made the moon to shine in the absence of the sun, to give light while the sun was gone, see? A beautiful type of Christ in the church. The church is the moon to give the light to the world while the sun is gone. See what I mean? A lesser light. See? And then otherwise, the moon and the sun is husband and wife. As Christ in the church is husband and wife, the wife being the weaker vessel. All right? Only gives a smaller light in the absence of her husband. Now, everybody knows that God's a male. God's a male. We are his body, which is the female. Now, who's the weakest? We are. All right? So the type continues all the way through. When he made the sun and the moon, when he made male and female, created he them, even in theophany. Hello? But when he put them in flesh, he knew they was going to fall. But they didn't fall when Adam had Eve and her and him. But he had to separate them. because male and female created he them. So when he took the feminist part, what? The feelings, the emotions.
Right.
Took them out of Adam.
Yes.
And put them in Eve. Adam still had the masculine. He was the type of Christ. Right? Christ is the husband. We are the wife. He is the head. We are the body. Who's the weakest? The head or the body? No, the body's the weakest. Amen? Natural and spiritual. I mean, really, we're the body of Christ. And yeah, we're heading towards something. But we're still the weaker vessel. Because we lean to emotion. Even as the bride of Jesus Christ, we lean to emotion. More than we do, this is the word of God. That's why your headship, though, in a church, as Brother Dale has been for years and years and years, he's the male, you're the female. He's the male, you're me, us, or the female. Right? Because Christ is the head, but he uses the pastor as headship because you're the weaker vessel. Because it's been about a year and a half, and we're definitely the weaker vessel. Brother Dale's a strong individual. Goodness gracious. Yeah. And he's wore himself out worrying about y'all. And when I say y'all, I mean y'all. Amen? So, we're the weaker vessel. Your pastor has to stand in. What? Moses. Kill them all. I'll kill them all, God said. I'm taking every one of them out and we'll start all over again. The pastor jumps out from around the pulpit and says, if you're going to take them, you got to take me first. God said, get out of the way, son. I'm going to destroy this world. Jesus said, you got to destroy me first. You got to take me first. I'm standing in the gap for my people. Brother Dale stood in the gap for the people. So we are the weaker vessel. Satan can get to us quicker than he can get to. Sorry. The wife being the weaker vessel only gives a smaller light in the absence of her husband. And the church can only make manifestations of the Holy Spirit. And remember, the moon cannot give light of her own. So see, Eve didn't have her own light. Her light came from Adam. Amen? Satan knew that, though. He knew she was the weaker vessel. He could watch her be the, not the mother of her own children, but she was mothering maybe the animals. Hey, mother's a mother. She would be motherly. She would, you know, be the one that would, oh, this is so neat. And Adam's like, it's okay, honey. I got business to take care of. You know, in other words, I got to move mountains and all this other stuff. But now before that, sure, they were co-equal. Right? But Satan knew, though, if he could ever get them apart, he didn't dare talk to Eve while Adam was there. Satan don't dare bother you while Brother Dale's preaching. It's when you go home during the week. It's when he plays with you. Is that right? Amen? Stay under your headship, is what Brother Brown said. It's not the moonlight, it's a reflection of the sunlight. So she was a reflection, Adam, she was a reflection of Adam, but she wasn't Adam. She was an individual. Taken apart. Because listen, that whole type had to go moon, sun, Adam, Eve, Christ, bride. It's got to all be in continuity. So God knew he had to start it. Listen, God starts it right. So he's definitely going to end it right. Everybody with me? Jehovah Jireh, 1956. Oh, okay. He's talking about Isaac. It was on Sunday afternoon when he spoke to him, maybe. On Monday morning, how's he going to do? Poor little Isaac. He looks at him. Oh, he loves him, but I can't look at that. I got to think of obeying of God. So he couldn't tell Sarah. What's he talking about? What I just talked about. Abraham taking Isaac, Listen, God didn't come to Sarah and say, Sarah, your husband's going to take that boy up on the mountain and they're going to kill him. God knew what she would do. She'd pitch a fit. Right? Because of the emotion. That's my boy. He couldn't do that. God told the preacher first. Because being laity, we'd mess it up if we got it first. I'm sorry. But I can't look at that. I got to think of obeying God. So he couldn't tell Sarah because, you know, the ladies are the weaker vessel. So sometimes you have to watch. See, I can't tell Sarah because she wouldn't understand. Sarah never was too strong anyway in faith. Because she lacked, she disbelieved the promise. But Abraham held her. Because the man and the woman are one. The woman could not be saved in the Old Testament only by the man. Because it was circumcision. And she had to be joined to her husband in order to receive it. But in the last days, God's poured out his spirit, circumcised all of our hearts, male and female. All right? Sixfold purpose of Gabriel's visit to Daniel. You women, I've hollered at you. Now I'm going to take up for you a minute. See, the woman is a weaker vessel. I know there can't be a bad man before there's a bad woman. But men who knows that, men who knows that you're a son of God and take advantage of a woman, shame on you. Dating, let's go back to what we're talking about dating. Shame on you if you take advantage of a woman. She's going to be the weaker vessel. She's going to fall for you a lot of times more than, come on somebody. She's going to fall for you a lot more than he falls for her. Because of what? Weaker vessel. Everybody okay? The woman is a weaker vessel. I know there can't be a bad man before there's not a bad woman. But men who know that, men who know that you're a son of God and take advantage of a woman, shame on you. No matter what she does, she's a weaker vessel, and you know that. Amen. If she goes to acting unladylike, take her by the hand and talk to her like a sister. You're a son of God. Don't do them evil things. Look at Joseph. He was an example of you. Remember what happened to Joseph? He got caught in Potiphar's wife's house, and she wanted him, and he didn't want to have nothing to do with her, so he ran out and left, and then she told on him, or told her version of it. Now, it's taken something to redeem this fallen woman, which was typified in Eve when she fell. Adam was not deceived. You got to remember, we preach this and preach it and preach it. It wasn't Eve's fault for the fall. It was Adam's fault. He was deceived. She was deceived. He wasn't. She didn't know what. She didn't know she was doing wrong because she was the weaker vessel. But Adam went in, Brother Brown said, with both eyes wide open. Knowing if he took Eve, it would destroy the whole world. Now, I know Brother Brown says Eve caused all this. Yeah, she got the ball rolling. But still, Adam sold us out. Not Eve. Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in a transgression. Adam knew what he was doing wrong. She didn't. I'm not hurting your feelings, but you know I've always stood for it. I don't agree with women ministers because it's not supposed to be that way. That's why a woman's not supposed to have anything to do with the church. Sorry, I'm hurting your feelings. You talk to Brother Branham about it. She is the weaker vessel. Now, we find that this woman was deceived by someone quoting her the word. Not all of it. Quoting her the word, look, and just missed it a little bit. And that's what caused all the trouble. Paul says, let a woman keep silent in church. Do not permit to speak and so forth. Now notice, 1 Peter 3, verse 7, watch. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto your wife. As unto the weaker vessel and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Everybody with me? Let me read a couple more right here. Look, fellowship with God through reconciliation, 1956. I'm going to be a little long, but I'm sorry I'm going to answer all these questions. Now, Adam was not deceived, no sir. Adam was not deceived. Adam knew exactly what he was doing, but Eve was deceived. And Adam did not go out because he had transgressed. He had not. He didn't sin. His sin was he took on hers. Christ didn't sin.
Amen.
No. He took all mine and yours. Being the weaker vessel, he knew we couldn't live without him. He knew we couldn't, what? Survive without God. He didn't go out. He wasn't deceived. He didn't go out because he's being deceived. He went out because he loved his wife so much, he went with her. A beautiful type of Jesus Christ, knowing no sin, but went to hell and took our place to redeem his wife. Hallelujah. Don't get mistaken in that now, mixed up. See, Adam was not deceived, Timothy 3. He was not deceived, but Eve being deceived was in the transgression. Adam went with her to be with her. And Christ came down from heaven, the immortal God, and was made flesh and dwelt among us to be one of us, to die as a sinner at Calvary, to redeem us back to fellowship with God again. A beautiful story. He didn't have to do it. But he did it because of his love for the church and lost humanity. Wow. Looking at the unseen, 1959. When God made man, he made him thus, for he made this little certain compartment in the man for his own throne, his control tower. Heart. God wants to lead man, but man wants to lead himself. Therefore, there is a war constantly. That's what we're talking about this morning, greatest battle ever fought. The man wants to go after what he sees with his eyes. Look, that's where he's deceived. That's where Satan deceived him. Now, when he talks about man, he's talking about us being the bride. When he says he's talking about us being the bride, because watch. That's where he's deceived. That's where Satan deceived Eve by what she could see. The Bible says the fruit was pleasant to her eye. Feelings. Emotion. Sisters, understand what he's saying. You're just an emotional bunch of nerves, right? Get nervous about every little thing. Sorry. And sometimes we as the bride of Jesus Christ, make rash decisions or false decisions. Oh, wait a minute. Perfect ones, raise our hand. Oh, thank you. That was where Satan deceived Eve by what she could see. The fruit was pleasant to the eye, but it was death to the soul. Now, we know Brother Branham talks about soul and spirit interchangeable. She wasn't dead in her soul. Her soul, by the Genesis 1:26, man, was eternal. Everybody with me on that? Okay. The theophany, when he pulled the theophany apart, if Adam was eternal in soul, so was Eve. She fell in her memory, reason, conscience, affection, imagination. All right? So it is tonight. God wants to lead man, so he made himself a little control tower in the midst of his heart so that man would be led by the Spirit of God. Getting off on his own leading is what separated him from his fellowship. Getting Eve separated from Adam is what Satan used. Remember, he's a divider. Get you as far away from God as he can, and then he'll try to deal with you. So that man will be led by the Spirit of God. Getting off on your own is what separated you from his fellowship. Looking at what you can see with your own eyes. Scripture says sons and daughters, though, are led by the Spirit of God. Your emotions is your control, and you can notice a man or a woman that tries to walk after the things of the world, they never can please God. But a man or woman that will not look at the things of the world, but just go according to the leading of the Holy Spirit, they're usually in the will of God. That is the great fight tonight. Satan took the eye, a man's head, to control him, and God took his heart. Because there's no eye in the heart. Eyes are up here. This is faith. So the reason she fell is because she was the weaker vessel. She got the emotional part of Adam. Everybody with me? She got Adam. Separated, here's Eve. Now, that doesn't make her, when I do this, that doesn't make her. The reason she's down here now is because what? The fall. The covenant. Covenant was they were both equal. If they both eat the tree, they're both going to die. All right? They both died, but then you went into another covenant where what? She's now the weaker vessel, very weak vessel. Childbearing, we read all that. I don't have to read it. Everybody okay with that? Good? She was a weaker vessel. He couldn't fall because he was what? The closest thing to God. She was a byproduct that came out. The problem was, I like what Brother Joe Forney said one time. The problem was when Eve come out of Adam, God sewed up the slit. Right? Remember it says he closed it up. So Eve couldn't get back into Adam. But when Christ, the second Adam, when he went to the cross and he got slit in the side, it's still open for an eternity. We can get back into the side of Adam. Amen? That's exactly why that side, Thomas, put your hand in here, because that's where you're going back to. This is a reason you can get back. It's because what? The second Adam couldn't fall. All right? Everybody all right? That's this last one. Do we fall in love with Jesus like falling in love with getting married? Amen. You ain't a kid. Let me read this real quick and then we'll close. We won't have any musicians or anything. If you have any other questions, though, if this created questions, then please ask them and we'll try to answer them next Sunday. All right, listen. This is God perfecting his church, 1954. Now look, when I get a letter from Ms. Branham, now she'd say, "Dear Billy, I love you so much and I'm thinking of you." That's what she's saying on paper. But I can read between the lines, because I'm in love with her. And I know what she's talking about. You know, when your wife says, "I love you," there's something that goes on. We do get emotional because we know what she really is saying. I'm a part of you. I want to be with you. I miss you so much. Amen. All that. That's the in-between that's not written. Because right. Remember, one more time, you're supposed to love your wife like Christ loves you. Right. And gave his life. Would you literally give your life for your wife? Yes. In a heartbeat with no reservation. Some of you, I don't know. Well, you got to be really in love to do that. I still think, correct me if I'm wrong, Regina, that Henry would do the same thing. I do. Henry's a man. I like Henry. Henry's a good guy. I miss him a lot. I sure do. I really miss him a lot. I miss a lot of the older ones that's not around here anymore. So the passed on ones and the ones that can't get here, Sister Johnny, your wife, Sister Mary. And different ones, that's why, sorry when I get in trouble for stuff, but I just want to see people back in church. I want to see somebody that's serving God. Look, that's getting benefits from it, not me. We don't have this thing up here like we had in the Baptist church. We had 350 for Sunday school. Remember how the whole thing in church, you know, they go change it. And they'd have $250 for Sunday school and $200 over here for tithing and offering. That's not what I'm looking for. I'm looking for born-again people that what? God can use. That we can what? Be what? A body. Quoting Tom Fallbush, "I ain't going without you, boy." So he'd tell me that every time he'd see me when I'd be out in the world. He'd say, "I ain't going without you, boy. Hurry up." In other words, he's saying, "Look, I'm getting older. Hurry up. Would you hurry up?" So look, now if somebody else reads that letter, they wouldn't think much about it. But I do. Because she loves me and I love her. It's a love affair. And when we're born again of God, it becomes more than just a story. It's a love affair between the believer and God. Wow. He said, "Reveal to babes such as will learn." God's covenant with Abraham, 1956. When you love him, you love to do something for him to bring in souls to him. It isn't a duty, it's a love affair. I don't love Jim because it's a duty. Oh Lord, she's my wife, so I gotta love her. You better rethink that problem. It's a love affair. Amen. Oh, I hope that goes way down. Look. I hope that goes way down to the fifth rib on the left side and anchors there and stays. It's a love affair. You love to do it. 1956. Oh, this is a continuation. I'm sorry. Paragraph E26. If you love your wife, you love to do something for her. Now, that kind of love, you can't have that same kind of love for Jesus. As the Greek word put, one is philia and one's agape. In other words, you understand what I mean. Filio love is love for your wife. Agape love is a word, is a love for God. All right. Now, filio love and agape love, as we've said, is two different things. But when you divinely love Christ like you love your wife, only it'll be greater, higher level than this is down here. Oh, don't worry. You'll be about the Father's business trying to win souls and praying for the sick and do everything you can because you love Him. You want to please Him. Now, that's the way it is with God. Not because you know so much, but because you love Him and He loves you. Sit down and read His love letter, and He will just speak to you right between the letters. The real content is the text, and the context is revealed by the Holy Ghost. From a seventh grade education guy, he's doing a good job. That's God doing it. We know that. Oh, that would make a Methodist shout. Think of it, brother. How is it? It's a love letter, a love affair between you and your Maker, and He will reveal it to you as you have need of it. Then he's talking about going back. But listen, ever-present water from the rock, 1961. We'll close right here. Just like a love affair. If you were going with a girl because you knew it was a duty, or you're going with a boy when you're young, mama wants me to go with this guy, but I just can't stand him. You read this Wednesday night. You don't get nothing of him coming to see you. Oh, if it's the same about that girl to the boy, or bore the girl, you go with her, she bores you. Mama wants you to go with her because she's the type of girl that mama likes. See, it bores you. There's no love affair. But you don't care. You don't want to clean up. You don't want to go see her. It's a horrible thing. And when he's coming to see you, my, you just wish you'd hurry up and go home. Luis read this Wednesday night. That's the same way it is with you. Why does he preach so long? Anderson bought me some shoes a little while ago, and I don't even have them on, or you would be 2.5 hours. Them's the comfortable shoes I ever put on my feet. But I ain't telling you what they are. Listen to this. The same thing is it with you. Why does he preach so long? What about all this stuff and everything? See, you're not in love. But when you really hang on to every word, as the Spirit gave you warning this morning, he's talking about a prophecy that must have come up that morning, hanging on to every word that might be what has been talking to you about, holding on. It's eternal life. Every word of God. It's a joy to go to church under any circumstance. Whether it's hot, cold, indifferent, whether the people are fussing, growling, whatever they're doing, it's still a joy to hear the Word of God. Amen. Then you're in love with Christ. You love to go to church. Now let me read this one right here. This is the last one. Marriage of the Lamb, 1962. And after the decision is made, well, let me go. And this is the same way it is by making the decision for Christ. The first thing you have to do is make up your mind whether you're going to serve God and take Him as your Savior. Same way with talking about going into the courtship, the dating courtship. All right. And you're not, make up your mind, whether you're going to serve God and take Him as your Savior, or you're not going to do it. Are you going to serve the world? Are you going to serve Christ? You have to make up your mind. There has to be a decision made. When you make up your mind that you're either going to serve God or mammon, then you take your choice, but the decision has to be made. Amen. As I said before, God's going to make you make a decision. Amen. You cannot be wishy-washy or on the fence. Remember who owns the fence? The devil. All right? Look, and then after the decision is made that you are, then comes the engagement. That you find that at the altar. You've got to make an engagement before a union can be. Everybody with me? And that's the way it is with Christ's church. It has to be an engagement with Christ, a pledge, an engagement, a love affair. Amen. And then the next thing is what? Promises made. God's making all the promises. Sweetheart, if you marry me, I promise I'll be loyal and true. I will look upon no other woman, or I'll take upon no other man, or I'll do all that's a duty as a wife. We have children. It'll do all as a duty as a mother. I'll be a housekeeper. All these promises has got to be made, or should be, in a correct wedding. Same way with your new birth. Amen. Amen. And I was thinking today, let's stand our feet. I was thinking today, and I appreciate every person that comes to this church, because it is an absolute effort to get here. Some of you drive an hour and a half. Some of you drive through Atlanta, which, God bless your heart. Whew. Kind of taxing every once in a while, isn't it? Yeah. But you made, you know what? You make an effort. God will absolutely. He may not today. See, that's us. Well, God, I'm doing what you said. I want it today. No. You'll get it when you need it. I read it right here. You'll get it when you need it. You don't get it before. You get it when you need it. Remember, God's always on time. He's never early. He's never late. He's always on time. So when you need it, he shows up, gives it to you. But you got to what? Take the promises of God. Yes. And say, God, I made a commitment. This is my commitment. This is my church. I know they have two services and they're close together. And the preacher always complains about us falling asleep. But I thank you for your effort. Amen. That you're at least sitting in the congregation. You're at least here, that you got here, that you didn't make every excuse. My cat's got diarrhea, you know, and all this stuff, you know. My car won't run, and you got three others in your parking lot. Hello, somebody. You understand what I mean? You can make an excuse. But the one of you, the ones of you that are here today, you let no excuses get in your way. Amen. Amen. And I'm glad that Brother Dale didn't have a pile of excuses the whole 50 years. He was showed up every Sunday. Every Wednesday. And it wasn't because he had to. Because he wanted to. It was a love affair with Christ and his bride. Let's bow our heads. Dear Lord, thank you for this day that you give us. Father, these questions were on our young adults' minds, Lord, and I pray that they've been answered to a way that they get some satisfaction of. Because behind every question, there's got to be an answer. Because the question is in their mind and their hearts, Lord. Now I pray that you'll answer that question for them through the filter of the Holy Ghost. Just take out all the things that we said that was funny and different things of life. And Lord, may they get down to, as you said, the love letter, the in-between. The one, Lord, where we read the Bible and it tells us that we're your bride. We've made ourselves ready and we're going to live with you for an eternity. Father, I pray for the men and women here, the children, everybody, all the families that are represented, Lord, and also the ones that are watching in, the group in Ohio and different ones, Lord. We know there's several watching in every service. We pray for them too, Lord. Sister Johnny, Sister Mary. All the different ones, Lord, that can't be here at the moment. We pray that you'd strengthen them, Lord, and give them courage, Lord, to get back here, Lord, and be under the umbrella of the Holy Ghost, Lord. I know that you're there with them, and I know that you're blessing them. But, Lord, I'd like to see their face here. What's wrong with that? I like to see my friends and my family. Lord, I pray that you'd just be with us, Lord. If something said that wasn't correct, Lord, I pray that you'd correct it, Father. Be with the ones that are sick and not here, Lord. We always think about those, Lord. The ones that are sin sick, Lord, that we that we don't see, Lord. We pray that you'd bring them back. Lord, not bring them back to here. Don't bring them back to a building or bring them back to a ministry. Bring them back to Christ. And then when they're brought back to Christ, they will realize that there's a ministry here that will take them up that statue of a perfect man, Lord. I pray that you'd be with each one, Lord. Bless the ministers. Be with Brother Bob this Wednesday as he ministers. Father, be with us, Lord, next weekend. Different things going on, Lord. Be with the youth, Lord, as they go to camp. Father, I pray that you'll fill them all with the Holy Ghost. that even if they have the Holy Ghost, that you'll refill them, Lord. That you'll just pack so much of the Holy Ghost in, Lord, that they won't be able to contain it. And, Lord, they'll have a testimony, Lord, that you showed up in that meeting, Father. And, Lord, all the other peripheral things of finding other friends and maybe even a boyfriend or a girlfriend, we pray that you put your hand on these young people, Lord, and that you'll touch them. We should pray for our young people. Satan would love to cut this generation off. He would love to not have another generation of bride. But you said you were going to have one. So, Lord, somebody's going to make it. Somebody's going to push through. Somebody's going to press through and make a commitment to be married to you, Lord. And it's not a marriage just for years. It's a marriage for eternity. And, Father, what better place than start right now? Lord, in your presence, we pray, Lord, that you'd be with the ones, Lord, that are that are in the foreign fields, as we said before. Lord, our heart goes out to them, and we hear from them some, Lord, and we know they're doing the work of the Lord. And I pray that you'd be with them, Lord. Just take care of each one. Just be with us as we go, Lord. Thank you for giving us a time together. Lord, bless Brother Dale and Sister Dale. Lord, give them strength. All the ministers and different ones, Lord, in the congregation, the deacons, the elders, everybody that has anything to do, song leaders, musicians, Father. It takes a group of people, Lord, to make a church. And, Father, I pray that you'll bind us together, compact us together so Satan can't stick his dirty finger anywhere in this place, Lord. We thank you for all things. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for sending us a prophet that we could read his quotes and it would be exactly the answer to the questions that we needed, Lord. Thank you for that, Father. Thank you for the Word of God, though, more than anything. That Word of God has all the answers to every question that we have, Lord. Thank you for that and for giving us the ability to open that Bible up and to be able to teach people, Lord. I pray that you'd just touch us now in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed. God bless you. Take the name of Jesus with you. Child of sorrow and of woe.